Hey everyone, I'm Michael and I'm here with my friend Sky. Today we're diving into the Bay Area coffee scene, but not with the usual hype about the lightest, most acidic roast. We're talking about a place that's been around since 2011 and seems to have totally ignored the trend to chase the ultra-bright third-wave style.
That's right, and it's High Wire Coffee Roasters. They've built this massive presence across the East Bay by just sticking to a philosophy that sounds simple but is actually rare: balance. They're not chasing the trendiest profiles. They just want to make coffee that tastes sweet, has good body, and actually tastes like where it came from.
That's a bold move, Sky. I remember when I started getting into coffee, everyone was obsessed with the lightest possible roast, almost like it was a flex. How does High Wire even pull off a roast that isn't super light or super dark without sounding like a middle-of-the-road compromise?
It's not a compromise, Michael. It's a deliberate calibration. Their founders, Rich, Eric, and Robert, have over 50 years of combined experience, so they know that extreme roasting often burns out the origin flavors anyway. They aim for a not-too-light, not-too-dark, sweet spot where you get red ripe fruit acidity, but also that deep caramel sweetness without bitterness.
I love that you mentioned the sweetness, because that's usually the first thing I notice when I try their flagship espresso blend, but I'm curious about where they source these beans. It seems like balancing flavor and ethics is a tightrope walk for most roasters.
They definitely walk that tightrope and then some. Instead of just buying generic fair trade beans, they pay roughly twice the fair trade price to support smaller family farms directly. It's a strategy that builds real relationships, like their 10-year partnership with Benjamin Paz in Honduras, who grows some of the world's best Jesha coffee.
Wait, a 10-year partnership? That's incredible. I feel like most people think ethical sourcing is just a checkbox on a form, but paying double and working with the same farmer for a decade changes the whole dynamic. Does that level of access actually show up in the cup?
Oh, absolutely, Michael. Because they have that long-term trust, Benjamin sends them one special bag per year of his award-winning Jesha from his La Orquidia and La Salsa farms. It's a window into what ethical sourcing actually looks like when it's not just marketing language. It's a genuine partnership that rewards quality and sustainability.
That's a beautiful story, but I want to pivot to something that feels even more counterintuitive for a business. I heard they have this program where they let other roasters use their equipment. Why would a roaster help their competitors?
It sounds crazy, right? But they call it the Tenant Roasting Program, and it's basically them renting out their ProBet UG22 roaster to emerging Bay Area roasters. It's a community-first move where they're actively growing the scene, rather than just competing for the same beans or customers.
That is a fascinating business model. It's almost like they're the landlord of the coffee world instead of just another tenant fighting for space. Do you think this kind of generosity is why they've stayed so relevant for over a decade while others come and go?
I think it's a huge factor, Michael. They've stayed true to their founding vision of balance and community, and that tenant roasting program proves they're invested in the ecosystem. It shows they care about the health of the whole scene, not just their own bottom line, which creates a really strong loyalty among the local roasters and the customers who know about it.
I also noticed they have a serious tea program, which is a bit of a surprise for a coffee roaster. It seems like they really do embrace the idea of community beyond just caffeine.
Exactly, they've got a 4-track tea program with Japanese sencha and some killer iced tea blends. They even integrate music into their identity, explicitly connecting around coffee, community, and music to create a vibe that feels like a neighborhood hangout rather than a shop.
It sounds like High Wire is the antithesis of the gatekeeping coffee culture I used to see. They seem to be inviting people in and building things together. If someone listening has never tried High Wire, where should they start?
If you've never tried High Wire, Michael, start with their flagship espresso blend or try one of their iced tea blends if you want something refreshing. Just go in knowing they value balance and community, and you'll taste the difference that a decade of relationships and thoughtful roasting makes.
That's the key takeaway for me. High Wire stands out because they prioritize long-term relationships and community health over chasing the latest coffee trend. It's proof that you can build a sustainable, successful business by focusing on the people and the coffee, not just the hype.